Piazza Valle Rofana. As some of you know, we are studying right now the series Jesus Is. We have already seen that Jesus is your protection. Jesus is your peace. And some others. But tonight, I've been told by my Lord to talk to you about Jesus is your forgiveness. Amen. While we were conferencing about this title, I found it a little weird, but well, the boss told me to do that. So, I don't have much say on this. And I'm inquiring, why should I? And that comes without saying. Christians supposed to know that Jesus is our forgiveness. And the Lord has told me there's a ton of people in the churches walking around with a heavy load, thinking about things that they did on the past. And many people think that there's no forgiveness for that. Some will think, okay, God will forgive, but they still feel guilty. The best way for you to know that you, not God, have forgiven yourself is when you think about something and you don't feel hurt or embarrassed. That means you have forgiven yourself. Now, God wants you to know this evening. God wants you to know this evening that Jesus is your forgiveness. Amen. That you have no reason to be walking around, shoulders down, heads down, because of something that you made in 1929. It has been forgiven. God has been taking care of you. You know what, brother, let's stay with the New Living Translation tonight. I want to make it short and quick. I don't want to be running back, King James, blah, blah, blah. They can look at King James home. I want you to come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start on verse 5. And if you could give me the New Living Translation to start with, I would appreciate. Listen to this. Here is the proof that Jesus is your forgiveness. Watch this. God, not you, decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. How? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So let's get out of the way that it was God's idea to save you. It was God's idea to bring you in. Therefore, there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Say amen.
Amen.
The fact that you were now inserted, if you will, into the family of God was all God's idea all the time. He is the one that decided in advance to adopt you. In other words, to make you one of his child. And he did that, bringing you to him through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. Tell your neighbor, it gave God great pleasure to make you part of the family. Come on, tell your neighbor. It's God's idea, folks. What does it have to do with forgiveness? Stay put. Give me the next verse, brother. Watch this, 6. So, we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Tell your neighbor, you belong to Jesus.
You belong to Jesus.
Not to the devil.
Not to the devil.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
I've got a big brother. I'm about to preach, Jesus, your big brother.
Amen.
You know, Jesus is your big brother. I'm kind of excited. It took God pleasure to make me part of his family. To make you part of his family. How did he do that? Through Jesus Christ. He poured out grace. That is that undeserved favor. Huh? I did not deserve to be on the family of God. But somehow, I like this fella. He look at you, I like this fella too. I like all of them. Bring them in through Jesus. And we came in. And then on the moment that we were adopted, we start belonging to Jesus. Watch this. Why is it important for you to know that you belong to Jesus? Verse 7. Watch this. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and he forgave our sins. The richness of God's grace and love and mercy. He let the son come and be crucified. And through the blood that was shed on Calvary cross, through the son, God bought your freedom and forgave all our sins. So, I met some folks from the church down the street. That said, well, if this is true, now I can go out there and mess up as much as I can because my forgiveness has been bought. I said, you deceived. The devil has tricked you. Excuse me? The devil has tricked you. Just like somebody going out there now taking a whole bottle of vodka and think that you can drive straight home. So, does that mean that I will never sin again? No, it does not. It means that the original sin that kept you out from heaven has been paid for, so now you can come in. Nevertheless, on the times that you and I sin, we don't. But here and there, you know, we like to talk about Sister Mavis because we don't like her. In times like this, 1 John 1, verse 8, tells us what to do. You have been purchased from the power of darkness. You have been purchased from the dead. You have been purchased from the devil. And you belong to God. You belong into God's family. And God has forgiven all your sins, the sins that separated you from Him and from heaven. Now, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living on the truth. Now, give me the backslider translation, these two next verses. Watch this. If we claim that we are free of sin, we are only fooling ourselves. A claim like this is errant nonsense. Here comes the best, verse 9, same translation, watch this. On the other hand, if we admit our sins and make a clean breast of them, He won't let us down. Huh? He'll be true to Himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. So what you're saying, preacher, that every time that I messed up, which is not often, I'm no longer a slave of sin, neither I or you, because we have been purchased. Our freedom from sin's power has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. So you're saved, you're redeemed. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But here and there we slip out, isn't that right? Here and there you're walking on the market and there's somebody throw some bananas on the floor and you just slip a little bit and shake. When that thing happened, all we have to admit, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I spoke about against the preacher. Sorry about that. I never spoke about the preacher. Well, somebody's talking bad about the preacher and you're standing over there. Accomplice. All I have to do? Sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do this thing again. He won't let you down. Why? Because He'll be true to Himself. He will forgive all our sins, and He is the best. I like this translation because it goes straight to the point. He will purge us of all wrongdoing. You're going to scrape it out. I'm praying, trying to find myself doing the same thing over and over again. Then you never repented. You never truly give up. God does not lie. Say amen.
Amen.
If God says He's going to do something, He will do it. It's not happening to me because you never did your part. When we confess, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all the nonsense that is trying to separate us from His love. Why? Because Jesus is your forgiveness. But listen to this. Brother preacher, let's go to Psalm 85, verse 2. Starting with the New Living Translation. Psalms 85, verse 2. I love that scripture. Watch this. Read it with me. You forgave. Isn't that something? The Lord forgave the guilty of His people, and He covered all our sins. This is why you don't have to walk around with a yoke, with a heavy load for something that happened in the past. If it happened in the past, drop it at Calvary Cross, because there is abundant forgiveness for people that will come to Him. I like the backslider translator better because of this. Watch this. Read it with me. You lifted the crowd of guilt from your people. Say amen.
Amen.
There's no reason to walk around with that thing hovering over your head. The Lord forgave all our guilty and put our sins far out of sight. Let's go now. How far can the Lord put the sins from us? Psalm 103:12. New Living Translation? Psalm 103:12. Watch this. Let's read it. He has
removed our sins as far from us as the east from the west.
Amen.
Say amen. Come on.
Amen.
That's going to be a time. You're going to say, well, but you know, sometimes I feel good. This thing keep talking on my head. When the thing talk on your head, said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Back off, you idiot. You're a liar. You have been a liar from the beginning. So get out. Back off. Because my sins has been put away from me. As far as east is from the west.
Amen.
So you are there and your sins are there.
Amen.
It's what the book says.
Amen.
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 Watch this. It gets better. It gets even better. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jesus is your forgiveness. And you don't have to walk around heads down, thinking about whatever nonsense happened in the past. Because sometimes even a family member will come and threaten your face. I know cases when people on their own family, oh, we think you are that holy? You remember what you did in 1955? When that person tells you that, tell them, the Bible tells me that the Lord has removed my sin as far as east is from the west. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When somebody throw in your face that sin that you committed 30 years ago, who cares? Why? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Tell them, you're a new person. Come on, say like you mean it. Huh? So if you are a new person, according to this book here, huh, the old stuff is gone. A new life has begun. So don't let the devil or some idiot family members come and tell you, well, you're playing all holy church thing. Don't you remember I know who you are? That's your business. You do, but God doesn't. Because now I'm in Christ. And that old life is gone. God gave me a brand new lease in life. Now, the backslider translation has it in an interesting way. Watch this. Now, we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start and is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. Huh? We're going to look at the new life, not at the old stuff, because now you are united with Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a new, brand new, fresh start God will give you through Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is your forgiveness. You know what? Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. New Living Translation. 1 John 2:1. Would you care to read it with me? My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that but
if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ.
You got a lawyer.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Did you know that the word advocate here means lawyer?
Yes.
Amen. I'm writing this stuff that you may not sin. But, if you do sin, don't panic. You've got a lawyer to plead for your case before the Father so that you do not have to walk heads down. You do not have to walk with a yoke, that cloud hovering you, over your head, because Jesus Christ, the truly righteous one, will plead your case before God. Say amen.
Amen.
You know what? It gets better. It gets much better. Well, I hear what you're saying, but you know. No, there's not, I know. Brother, can you put up there, please, Hebrews 8:12. Let's start with the Message Bible. Hebrews 8:12. I hope you're writing down these things that you need to come back to this sometime later when somebody comes and tries to tell you that you're guilty, that you're bad, that you're wicked. Nonsense. And some parents like to tell their children, you're bad. Nonsense. You're forgiven. I'm going to spank you, but you're forgiven. They'll get to know me by being okay, third graders, I want you to read it with me because I want you to get this, huh? Read it with me. They'll get to know me
by being kindly forgiven.
Tell an abuse sin has been wiped away long ago. Always remember that. Well, that's the Max Lander translation. Give them the New Living Translation then. And I will forgive. And? Tell your neighbor, God does not remember your sins. Can you imagine if God would be keeping track of all our sins and remembering all of them, heaven would be contaminated. Say amen.
Amen.
Is that all that you got, preacher? Oh, no. Oh, no, it will get better right now. Brother, can you put up there Isaiah 43:25? And I really want you to underline that scripture in your Bible. Isaiah 43:25. Read it with me. I alone
will blot out your sins for my own sake, and will never think of them again.
Say amen. Come on, say amen. Huh? Tell somebody, God will blot out of all of your sins. And will never remember them again. Isn't that great? How could I not serve God? You know, I know how bad I was. And when I read promises like this, that He and He alone will blot out, yank it out, and I'm going to never remember them again. It gives me, you know, the will to dance. Listen to the backslider translation. Watch this. But I, yes, I am the one. Tell him,
God has destroyed the list of your
sins. Folks, it gets better than this. Listen to Isaiah 55:7. Well, preacher, you know, I was bad. Let's go to the New Living Translation. Good. Good that you're bad. Get this. Bad people. Let's read it. Let the weak change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord. Why? Forgiveness is something that's on the heart of God. There's so much forgiven in God that He's willing to generously forgive us from all our sins. Folks, it is God's desire for you to understand. You don't have to walk with a yoke on your back. Oh man, when I was in the world and I did that, that's gone. Mom, preacher, I robbed the bank. Did you ask God for forgiveness? Yes. Are you still robbing banks? No. God already forgot it. Done deal. Are you with me here? The problem is that many times we don't forgive ourselves and we don't forgive other people. That's why we feel so bad. Colossians 3:13 says it very simply. Watch this. Colossians 3:13. Would you care to read it with me? Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone. Remember, now, sometimes I distance myself from those kind of preachers that every time that they come is just sweeping people. Wham, 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 wham. You know what I'm talking about? The Bible says we should make an allowance here for others' fault, each other's fault. What do you mean make allowance? Don't get all mad because somebody didn't tell you that your dress doesn't look nice. Or somebody joke with you, say, you have a big nose. Instead of getting mad, say, that's good, I can smell better than you. Come on, make some allowance here. You know, when people used to joke at me at the university when I went to Bible school, man, you have a big ear. I said, you're jealous. You're nuts. Why would I be jealous? Because you can hear as good as I do. Come on, give some allowance, you know. Forgive each other. And anyone who offends you. Usually people don't forgive. They will always be sick. 90% of the people that I pray for that have some kind of chronic illness has to do with unforgiveness. The Bible is saying, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive each other. Done deal. And do you know, if we try to play the tough one and don't forgive people, this is why I led you guys on the amendment prayer. 98% of chances when you pray, God will not listen to you. A sister one time said, can you pray for God to kill my husband? I said, are you willing to die? She said, I said my husband. So, well, in the eyes of God, you and him are one. So if God would answer my prayer, you and him going to die. I said, what? Didn't the Bible say when you marry, the two become one? Yeah. Yes. So if he dies, you're going to go along. I said, no, never mind. Can you pray for God change him? Let's make some allowance here. So you say that most of the time when they don't forgive, God's not going to answer my prayer. No, he will not. Brother, put up there Mark 11:25 on the Message Bible. Watch this. Mark 11:25 on the Message Bible. Let's read it. And when you assume the posture of prayer, only then isn't that something? Amen. One of the times that I was recently talking to Jesus, the Lord showed me that half of the church will go to hell. Not for unbelief, but for unforgiveness. And if you listen to the podcast, it's in one of the podcasts. Now, Miss Mary Baxter, the one who had a vision of heaven, then Jesus took her to hell for 21 days. The Lord told her, see all these people, they're all church people. And they're in hell. Yeah. Why? They never forgave people that they should have forgiven. Isn't that something? I'm trying to get her here. So she can give her testimony of heaven. And maybe a little touch on hell. Amen. It's not all asking. If we get to the altar, posture of prayer, and then we remember that Sister Mavis has been picking on me and she blocked me every Sunday in church. And I hate that. It's time, Lord, you know, I love Sister Mavis. She's so devoid of understanding. She blocked me every time I want to go. So I'll give you praise and glory. And I'll be praying for Sister Maeve until she moves her car. Amen? That's when we make the allowances. You know, brother, let me have the New Living Translation. I didn't check that on the New Living Translation. But when you are praying, first, so that your Father in heaven, so if there is unforgiveness, you can pray as much as you want. Nothing's going to happen. Ouch. Ouch. That's quite something, huh? Well, preacher, are you done? Not yet. Not yet. Brother, give me over there Colossians 2:13 on the New Living Translation. Watch this. Colossians 2:13. Would you care to read it with me? You are dead. And? Then? How? Once forgiveness took place, you are alive in the face of God. You are alive before God. You are alive before God. Which means that everybody that's out there not serving Jesus, they are dead. They can't respond to the Spirit of God unless God called them in His loving kindness. This does not happen to you and I. This is why we will always remember, even though life may get tough, we are alive before God, because Christ and Christ alone forgave our sins. This is why He is your forgiveness. But I want to show you something that even more interesting. Brother, can you put up there Jeremiah 33, verse 8? If you have never read the book of Jeremiah, I would recommend you start doing it. Have you noticed I've been using Jeremiah a lot? You know, there's no sin that you can commit that falls out of this category. Read it with me. I will cleanse them of
their sins.
Say amen.
Amen.
God is willing to cleanse our sins against Him and even our rebelliousness. Why does he mention rebellion? Because according to 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting verse 18 all the way to verse 26, rebellion is like a sin of witchcraft. So even when you and I are in witchcraft mode, God is willing to forgive our sins and our rebellion. It gets better than this. Let's go to Isaiah 1, verse 18 and 19. Let's start with verse 18. Give me the New Living Translation this, brother. Isaiah 1, 18. Read it with me. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, say amen.
Amen.
There's no sin that God can't forgive. Say amen.
Amen.
There isn't a sin. You know, the only sin that will not be forgiven to man is a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. We all know that.
Yes.
With exception of that. I believe that if somebody blaspheme against the Holy Spirit and that person repents, God will give a shot again to that person. When Jesus said that sins against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be forgiven, not on this generation, nor in generation to come, is when somebody deliberately chooses to attribute to Satan works done by the Holy Spirit, and they persist on that thing. That we have no forgiveness. But over here it says, you know, let's settle this. I mean, if your sins are red, you know, like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Now, the backslider translation goes even further. Watch this. If, Lord have mercy, Come, sit down. Let's argue this out. This is God's message. If your sins are blood red, guess what? If they're red like crimson, God is willing to settle this once and for all. Don't walk around, heads down, beating yourself up on the chest because of something that you did in the past. You don't have to do that because God is willing to go a step further than what you're willing to do so he can get this thing out of the way. Say amen.
Amen.
Listen to verse 19. If you will only obey me, guess what? Isn't that something? What? Obey what? Let's settle this thing out. I'm willing to forgive you, so obey me. Let's settle this thing once and for all and just stop walking around thinking that you have committed such a great sin there's no forgiveness for it.
Amen.
Wake up! If you understand I'm willing to forgive those sins, guess what? You're going to be happy. You're going to have plenty to eat. Because you're going to be now light from that burden, that yoke you're carrying around. You're going to be able to function properly. And then you become productive. And then you have enough and plenty to eat. Folks, God wants you to be happy. Say amen.
Amen.
A person that thinks that he or she is not forgiven for whatever nonsense they did is a very unhappy person. God wants you to be happy. And because of that, he's willing to go an extra mile with you when it comes to forgiveness. Brother, can you put over there Psalms 32, 1? Let's start with the New Living Translation. I'm going to wrap up this thing right now. Psalms 32, 1. I want you to read it with me. And we're going to read it slowly. No need to rush. Because I want you to understand that God wants you to know that Jesus is your forgiveness. And God wants you to be happy. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. You're not listening to this. What a joy, huh? For those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Tell them,
I'm forgiven.
And so are you.
So are you.
Now, the backslider translation makes it very interesting. I don't like this nonsense of lucky because Christian people are not lucky, they are blessed. So I put, count yourself happy. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. God wants you to be happy, and he's willing to wipe out the slate clean. No more sins. Now, verse 2 gets better than this. Watch this, same chapter, verse 2. Count yourself happy. God holds nothing against you. Say amen. Now listen to the New Living Translation. Yes. What joy for those who record the Lord has of guilty, whose lies. Say amen.
Amen.
Touch your neighbor and say, God has cleared the record.
God has cleared the record.
Jesus is your forgiven. Forgiveness. God has cleared the record. Jesus is your forgiveness. So please do yourself a favor. Stand up straight. Stand up tall. You don't have to walk around heads down because you committed a sin in 1989. If you have confessed that sin, and you have abandoned that sin, The Lord has cleared the record. Say amen.
Amen.
Say with me, my record is cleared.
My record is cleared.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Father God, I thank you for this little meditation. May you speak to your people through your word. And Lord, if some of us are still goofing up or goofing around, carrying the weight of sin in our backs, Lord, help us to accept your word today. And let us be willing to be forgiven. Help us to understand that penitence will not do. You and you alone are the only one who can clear the record. This is why we worship you and we praise you for clearing the record. And we declare that you are God. There is none else. You are the God of our salvation. You are Jesus, our forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen.